question of whether Kiddushin is itself a mitzvah, as the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch portray it, or do we say that it's not really its own mitzvah, but it's really more about Puravu? Just to clarify, by the way, some have asked about the Gemaras and the Rashis that were on the Mar Makomos from the Gemara in Maseches Beitza and the Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan, which I had asked you to look at. So just to clarify the impact of those two Gemaras. So first of all, I highlighted the Rashis there because really it's actually the Rashis that are of more interest to us, even though Rashi in Moed Katan is actually of questionable authenticity. But the point is that in both places, there the Gemara talks about the Chol HaMoed or Yontif itself, about a prohibition to perform Kiddushin. And the Gemara talks about whether it's a mitzvah or not. There's a slight contradictory implication between the Gemaras, which I'll come back to in a second. But the main point was to look at the Rashis there, because Rashi, in discussing what the mitzvah is, Rashi highlights only puravu, only the idea of having children as a mitzvah. And that seems to be in line with the Rush and others who see that as really the whole story. So that was the main point of interest in those Gemaras to see. Now, there's a slight contradictory implication, as some of you have pointed out as well, that the Gemara seems to say that in Moed Katan, that Kiddushin is not a mitzvah at all, it sounds like, because the Gemara says that we're not allowed to have Nisuin on Yontif. That we know, ein nosim nashim b'moed, we can't fully complete the marriage process on Yontif. So the Gemara asks, well, maybe we should say that that implies that Kiddushin, the first part of the process, is mutter on Yontif. Because why should we just say you can't do Eirusin? Apparently, Kiddushin is mutter. So to that, the Gemara says, well, no, you need to be told the chiddush of Eirusin, because even though Eirusin is a mitzvah, still you can't do it on Yontif because of the clash between that and Yontif. So that we need to spell out. With Kiddushin, we don't need to spell out so much. That you understand. So it sounds from that Gemara like Kiddushin is not a mitzvah. Eirusin is, and Kiddushin is not. And yet, the Gemara in Beitza, and the Gemara says that we don't do Kiddushin on Yontif. So there, the Gemara says, even though it's a mitzvah, we still don't do it. So it sounds a little bit like a contradiction. Like in Beitza, the Gemara says Kiddushin is a mitzvah. And in Moed Katan, it says that Kiddushin is not a mitzvah, only Eirusin is a mitzvah. Okay, did that come forward when you looked at those Gemaras? Sounds a little bit contradictory. So there are those who suggest that if you look at the writings of Rabbi Avraham ben Moshe Rambam, for example, that yes, Kiddushin is a mitzvah, but maybe only if it's followed up by Eirusin. And maybe that's the key difference. Because the Gemara in Beitza, where it says it's a mitzvah, so there, as far as we know, Eirusin is also part of the package. But the Gemara in Moed Katan, that was specifically splitting between Kiddushin and Nisuin. There we're saying that Kiddushin is not a mitzvah, and Eirusin, that's we need to be told that you can't do that in Eirusin. So in that Gemara, it could be that we only are referring to Kiddushin without Eirusin, and therefore in a Hanami, that's maybe not a mitzvah. That's a suggestion that some of the Svarim have to reconcile those two Gemaras. That's an interesting issue we have to figure out in general. Because are we saying, and this is something we'll try to talk about a little bit more today, are we saying that whatever mitzvah is involved in Kiddushin is only a mitzvah when the Nisuin is part of it? And therefore, what is the status of Kiddushin before Nisuin?
What does that mean?
Let's say you do Eirusin and you don't do Nisuin. You have Kiddushin. There once upon a time, in the time of the Gemara, they used to spread it out by a lot. They used to have them a year apart. So just Kiddushin without...
It would be the same day.
Yeah, you didn't have it at all close to each other. So if you have Kiddushin without Nisuin, so is there a mitzvah there or not? Now, that's a little bit of a difficult distinction to make, because it does seem like we're looking at Kiddushin by itself as a mitzvah also, and this is something, again, we'll try to have a little bit of attention for the next few minutes, about how exactly this continuum works. Because to say that without the Nesuin, the mitzvah isn't there, so that's a little bit tricky, because it sounds like from the Rambam and from others that our Mishnah is talking about itself a mitzvah, the act of Kiddushin as a mitzvah. And especially if we say Birchas Eirusin, like we mentioned the other day, that Birchas Eirusin might have a status of Birchas HaMitzvah. And one of the ramifications of that is that you have to do it before the act of Kiddushin, and not after, because when it comes to mitzvos, right, the brach always has to be over Los Yosun before you do it. So why should it make sense then that between Kiddushin and Nizuin you can't make Birchas Eirusin? If it's all referring to a mitzvah which isn't yet complete, so then it's hard to understand why the bracha has to be at that stage. And that's a little tricky. Rav Ruderman has a sefer on mitzvos. Masa's labor, Ruderman was the founding Rashiv of Neri Yisrael, so he thinks that that's a difficult point for the Ravon Ben Oshel around him. How to explain that issue with the Berachas Eirusin, and he leaves that Pitzarachin, and he leaves that as a difficulty because it's hard exactly to reconcile, and it highlights that we're talking about a continuum here, where here we have the Rush focusing on Puruvu, and before that we have Kedushin and Nesuin. And it's a little bit murky where exactly the mitzvah is located. Is the mitzvah this whole process from beginning to end? Is it somewhere in the middle? Where exactly are we finding the mitzvah? We see a little bit of murkiness. Hi.
But wouldn't that work nicely with the Shita's Ramban? That you can't make, the reason it's not a Berachas Mitzvah is because it's not Gemar and it's not Sa.
Yeah, for other Rishonim it would work well.
Okay.
Right.
Is the Rav Ben Rambam specifically describing it in light of his father?
That's what it seems like, or it seems like at least we need to be consistent with that for other reasons. You know, if you want to, for example, use it to reconcile the Gemara, it's similarly a different answer for the Rambam. But that's certainly our assumption. So to figure out how exactly the Rambam works with this is going to be a little bit more difficult.
Is Rav Ben Rambam, when he's reading dates, is he separating them between Kiddushin and Nisuin? Because, I mean, it seems to be the context talking about the Moed. So would he be saying that in that case is referring to the Kiddushin and the Nisuin happening both on that same Moed?
Or at least it could be. You know, when the Gemara says that that's a mitzvah, the Gemara basis, you know, the Kiddushin is a mitzvah, the assumption is we could be talking about Kiddushin and Nisuin happening together. Now, there's an additional question there also, which we didn't talk about, that the Gemara Moed Kotten tells us you can't get married on Yantif because of any Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So the question is, why does the Gemara in Beitza not talk about that? Why does the Gemara just talk about the issue of Ksiva, that we're worried that you might come to write if you're going to have the Kinyan Kedushin, so you may come to write. So why is that the only issue? Why don't we talk about any Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha in Beitza? So that's a technical question, which some suggest that maybe there are times when you don't have Simcha on Yantif. It's a question whether Simcha on Yantif applies fully at night. An interesting discussion. It's a question whether Simcha on Yantif applies to Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit Rosh Hashanah time. So if you're planning on having your wedding Rosh Hashanah night, I'm sure people will appreciate it. So you could talk about the lumpness of whether there's any viability there. Bottom line, don't do that. But you know, the question of what exactly is the issue, I mean, you can say it's a nice way to start off the new year, but has other problems. So the question of what is the key problem, so that's also a part of the discussion. So this whole issue that comes out from the Gemara in Beitza and the Gemara in Moed Kotten, so the main point I wanted you to see was how Rashi interprets those Gemaras as focusing purely on Puruvu, on the question of having children. But the possible discrepancy between the Gemaras is interesting also, and it calls to light this question of where exactly do things stop and start as far as Kiddushin and Nesuin is concerned. Where exactly is the mitzvah located? This Rashi, for example, the Rashi goes on to say on the Gemara Moed Kotten that, well, maybe it's a situation where there's no mitzvah because they already have kids. And then the Gemara goes on to say, well, still with a little bit of a mitzvah. So that Gemara by itself could mean that there's a mitzvah to marriage even separate from Purim. But if you look at the Rashi there, so Rashi seems to emphasize that, no, it's still about having children. That even though the mitzvah of Puravu only requires one or two children, one of each, let's say two children, two boys according to Beis Shammai, a boy and a girl according to Beis Hillel, but there's still a mitzvah to have more children, a mitzvah of Midibre Kabbalah, the Psukim of Sheves, or Erev Panachadecha, that there are various indications in Nevi'im that you should have more children. So Rashi's focus in reading the Gemara is, again, that it's about having children, and not that Kedushin has its own independent mitzvah status. But from the Rambam, we saw something else. Right? We saw that there's a mitzvah, and the mitzvah, you could say, is also because of children, because maybe he doesn't see any other way to halachically have children. Or maybe no, maybe it's not just because of that, but that, as we've been discussing in the past 2 days, that the relationship has to be, if there's going to be a relationship, the relationship has to be in the context of marriage and kedushin. Hi, sorry.
Is the Birkat Harusin, is that a nafkamina between the shita of Rav Avraham ben Rambam and whatever the other shita would be about the nature of kedushin nisuing being two components of the same?
Well, that's the difficulty they mentioned, that following that shita creates a question of, you could say that Birchas Erusin is still a Birchas HaMitzvah if you want to say it's all one continuum. Right? So that still works, but the question is, why should we say that you can't make the bracha after the Erusin? But that should still, you should still say the mitzvah is still going on. And therefore, at least that detail seems to be tricky. So that's a part of the question. Okay, so this is, again, this idea of the Rambam, though, is especially, like we've seen, in light of the idea that we discussed yesterday, that the kinyan of kedushin is not a kinyan in the monetary sense, you're not acquiring anything, but rather it's something that we do in order to show seriousness. It therefore has all the trappings of kinyan, all the details of kinyan, but it's not actually an acquisition in that sense. Now, you could also illustrate this point. I think I asked you to look at the Tosfos, right? The Tosfos and the Beis and the Beis of the Asala Kuliyamla Kehektish. So Tosfos there is picking up on the language of the Gemara, that that's what happens, that when one performs Kedushin, so there is a Hektish status, which is interesting, and we'll look at this Gemara by itself also when we get to see it in order. But what's interesting especially is the second half of Tosfos. So maybe we'll pick up from Upashta de Milsa, in the middle of the Tosus. Upashta de Milsa, Mekudeshusli, Miuchedusli, Musumenusli. That's the simple explanation of what we're talking about here. That's really the part of the first half, but just to give that some context. Umihu, however, says Tosus, Imhaya Omer, Talizu Mekudeshli. Let's say somebody wants to acquire a garment. So he proposes to it. And he says, this Taliz is Mekudesh to me. Ain nira shiyoa. Right? It's not going to work for buying items. The gabayisha b'madim siachedes lios no hina saras lekal aval b'kicker b'talus l'shayach l'meimra. So the details of what Tosfos is talking about we'll come back to, but he's highlighting the fact that we're simply dealing with different realms here. When you're talking about buying an item, so the method, the language at least of kedusha is not going to make sense. It's not going to work. And vice versa, that there's a fundamental difference, even though we're using a kinyan for both, but there's a fundamental difference in the process of what's happening between kedushin and everything else where we use a kinyan, and this also highlights that. So it's not something that's transferable. You can't use marriage language for property, you can't use property ideas for marriage. They're two separate realms, and they only have this overlap, but there are major differences between them. It's also interesting. So now, just maybe while we're here in front of the Tosfos, so to also take note of the question of why the Mishnah starts with hay. So Tosfos picks up on this question. Rashi maybe is alluding to it. Why the Mishnah starts with ha isha nicknames, where elsewhere we don't necessarily have that significant hay, that hay ha yediyah. So Rashi maybe is alluding to it when it says labala, although it's not clear what his fetish is. But Tosus picks it up explicitly. And Tosus talks about Isha Hamvureris the Pasuk. That we're talking about the specific Isha that is identified in the Pasuk. That's what we're talking about. We're calling attention to the Pasuk that says, Ki Yikach Yish Isha. And because of the Pasuk, therefore, she deserves this kind of focus. Now, one could say that the Hay is also coming to tell us that the whole point of Kiddushin is to identify and to designate and to set aside, and therefore maybe that's also alluded to by the language. The idea of saying, Ha Isha, this woman who is set aside from every other woman and set aside from every other man and who is the focus of attention, maybe that's also alluded to by this language. This is what the whole concept of the Kenyan Kiddushin is meant to convey. The Nitziv, parenthetically, the Nitziv in his commentary, the Merome Sada, it's a commentary on Chumash, a commentary on Shas, rather, which is always very interesting. So the Nitziv suggests that this is a reflection of the mitzvah, the idea that not only is this something that could happen, but that is a mitzvah specifically to do, so maybe that, in line with the Rambam and the Chinuch and the like, that's what the Mishnah could be considered consistent with, that Ha is a deliberate, focused action to indicate that there's a mitzvah involved. Okay, so within that context, so we associated all of this with the Rambam's presentation about the difference between how things were and how they should be. So let's go back to that for a moment. So the Rambam's history lesson. So why do you think he has this history lesson? What exactly, what's the message? Why do we need a whole history lesson? Why don't we just say, okay, so the Torah says you should do Mekadosh Yisha. Why do we need the whole code? The Torah, that's the way it used to be. And that's what it was like in the bad old days. Then comes the Torah, and now we have Kinyan Kiddushin. So what's the need for that? What's the need for the history lesson? Does it add anything? What do you think? Any suggestions that the Rambam is trying to get at by giving us this whole picture? So some Sfarim, they have various suggestions. For example, there's a beautiful sefer called Primosha. Primosha is about many things, but there's a volume of Primosha on Kinyanim. So in his volume on Kinyanim, he talks about this Rambam. And as he says, he thinks that what the Rambam is trying to tell you is that there is both a commonality and a difference between how things were and how they are now. So, yes, there is now a mitzvah of Kinyan Kiddushin, but that mitzvah shares the element of what marriage used to be. That when a couple decided they wanted to live together, okay, so then they're basically now designated to each other, and there is a concept of marriage. There's a concept of marriage from before the Torah, and maybe also after the Torah as well. We have to maybe consider that question. Maybe that's something we should talk about, because there is a concept of marriage for Bnei Noach also. Right? So how do we know this concept of marriage for Bnei Noach? Yes?
This is a little tax day for Bnei Noach to have adultery.
Yes, exactly. Right? We have to figure out exactly how specific the Lotz HaSei is, but you're correct, right? That since we assume that one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is Arayos, and Arayos is a pretty broad category, but it includes adultery. So what does adultery mean? You can't have adultery without marriage. That's what Mystica said sounds. You can't you need a concept of marriage in order to have adultery. So therefore there has to be some idea of Kiddushin by Bnei Noach. This is actually a Parshas Kisetze topic because it comes up in the context of Eishes Yifas Torah. That's Rishon Kisetze. So let's see if we can squeeze that in somewhere. But there is a concept of marriage by Bnei Noach, otherwise there wouldn't be any logic to other things. It's an interesting question, to what extent are there other arayos, right? So we know that arayos by Bnei Noach includes both the first degree relatives and includes also Eishes Ish. So is Eishes Ish the same kind of power that it has for Bnei Yisrael as well? So what about relatives by marriage? It's a broader discussion. But at least on some level, there's a concept of Ishus before Matan Torah, there's a concept of Ishus for Bnei Noach after Matan Torah. So perhaps what the Rambam is telling us here is there is always this idea that a couple is together in an ongoing relationship. But what the Torah is machadesh is that before that begins, there should be this act of a public union. And Pri Moshe goes on to say, because he favors the approach that we've been mentioning these past 2 days, that there isn't really a kinyan here, there's just an active kinyan, but the active kinyan is really about designation. So therefore, the Rambam is emphasizing that there was always this setting aside of people to each other. But the Kiddushin just extends that. Right? The Kiddushin just says that designation should be done in a more formal, public way. But the Rambam is mentioning it in order to tell you that we're not radically redefining the marital relationship, we're just extending the process by which the marital relationship is formalized. Okay, so far so good? There's also a Sefer HaTorah called Berchas Kohen, which was written by one of the Rashi Yeshiva at Kol Torah in Yerushalayim, where he has an essay actually about the question of Bnei Noach and marriage. And there he talks about this Rambam too. And he suggests that the history lesson of the Rambam is to show that it's a mitzvah now, that it always existed as a concept, but now it's an obligation. And now it has a mitzvah status. And he gives as an example, which I put on the Maror Hakomos also, and it was pointed out to me, that today's TOD. TOD, those of you who are new will learn that every Maror Hakomos list has a TOD, which is the typo of the day. So didn't list where in the Hilchos Shechita this Rambam was, but some of you managed to turn it up anyway. So the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita gives a whole history lesson of how in the Midbar, so they didn't have Shechita, they were able to just kill the animals and eat it. And then once they came to Eretz Yisrael, so then they have Shechita. So once again, so why do we need a history lesson? So he suggests the point is to show not only that Shechita exists, but that it's a mitzvah. And so to here, there is the mitzvah status that's being highlighted. So we could say it any of these ways, or we could say that it's to show the hemshif, to show that it's still about designation rather than purchase, or to show that it's a mitzvah. Or we could say, I think more simply, that the Rambam is just emphasizing to us what's different, that there has to be a deliberate, public, formal act of kinyan in order to make things even more serious, and that's ultimately the message. So with that, so this whole formal process that the Rambam especially is so interested in, so let's try to understand a little bit the concept of Erusin and how it fits in. Like we said in the beginning today, that it's hard to exactly pinpoint how far the mitzvah goes. The mitzvah, Kiddushin and Nisuin are only starting at Nisuin, are going only from Kiddushin. Where exactly is the mitzvah? It's a little bit unclear. Right? The Rambam, you saw the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, that the Rambam says that the mitzvah is to get married with Kiddushin and Nisuin. And conversely, that there is a prohibition to be with a woman without this. Now, there's a little bit of a question in the language of the Rambam. Somebody pointed this out a day or two ago, that the Rambam includes in the mitzvah ksuba. And that's a problem, because we assume that ksuba is the Rabban. The idea that you have to have a ksuba to live with your wife, we assume is the Rabbanan. It's a little bit of a machlokas. There are views in Rishonim that you don't need a ksuba, you do need a ksuba min haTorah, but the majority view is that Ksuba is Midrabanan, and it's probably the Rambam's view also in Mishnah Torah. So why exactly he includes Ksuba as part of the Mitzvah Minat Torah here is a tricky point. Seems like he means something else other than the document that we call Ksuba today, but that he's either referring to just the notion of the full marital obligation or some type of more core version of the chiyuv of support and protection. It's a little bit of an open question exactly how to draw the line between the two, but that's something we have to figure out. If Ksuba is Drabanan, what's he referring to when he includes it here? And it's something that the Mefarshim work on. But the Maisa, we do recognize, whether it's Ksuba or not, that there's a more complete package, right? That Kedushin is what designates the woman to the man. But, as we've been seeing, we need Nisuin in order for the process to be complete. And Nisuin, conceptually, means bringing the wife into the household. So Kedushin is to set her aside, and Nisuin is to bring her into his house and to fully complete the marriage process. Now, it's striking because here Nisuin is so important. Without Nisuin, they're not allowed to be together. And all of the halachos of being fully related really come with Nisuin. The idea that they will inherit each other, the idea that if he's a Kohen, he'll be a Matame for her, the idea of the Kohen Shul Truma, all of this really comes with Nisuin. So it's a pretty important part of the process. And yet, we don't have a Mishnah like this for Nisuin. So here we have a Mishnah very clearly telling us what Kedushin is. And yet, when it comes to Nisuin, it's not at all clear. And maybe this is something we'll do a little bit next week. Maybe we'll start off on one of the early days next week. I'll give you some sources to look at as far as just the different theories as to what Nisuin is. Because it's not at all clear. There are a number of possibilities. What might be Nisuin? Anyone familiar with this? What might constitute Nisuin in our contemporary wedding ceremonies? Right. So it's not really clear what of these stages is. Yes, right. It's not really clear which of the various things that happen are actually the Nisuin. So it's a big question. And it's a little surprising, perhaps, that it's not as clearly stated out that the Rishonim have to argue about it. Because it's a pretty important detail. But in any event, so Kedushin, the Mishnah says, this is what Kedushin is. And the Nisuin, we have to figure it out. We have to deal with different opinions in the Rishonim. But what does seem to be clear is that until there's Nisuin, so we're not allowed to have a physical relationship. And in fact, this is stated quite loudly and publicly at the wedding itself. Right? When is it stated at the wedding itself? It's incorporated into the Berachas Eirusin. It's part of the bracha. We say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu al ha'arayos v'asar lanu es ha'arusos v'hitir lanu es ha'nesuos lanu. We spell all that out in the bracha. We say that arayos are prohibited and arusos are prohibited to everyone, including the chasen. And only after that, hitolano or sanesuoslano. The contrast is directly stated in the bracha itself, that only the nesuos are only nesuoslano are permitted to that one person, and the arusos are prohibited to everybody. So this idea that there's a prohibition of bia even during the nesuin stage, even after kiddushin and before erusin. So is that Nisa Daraisa or Nisa Drabana? What would you say? So it's probably a machlokas. The Ravid is quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes as saying it's a Nisa Daraisa. But it seems for most others, probably including the Rambam, that it's a Nisa Drabana. Now the Rambam, again, like we said, is a little murky because of the statement in the Sefer HaMitzvos. But in Mishnah Torah, he says that it's midivrei sofrim, and that one who is with his nesua is subject to malchus. Now, why should it be malchus? So So it sounds like he means it's Malchus Magnus, that it's a Rabbanim, that this is a rabbinical penalty. Now, the fact that he says Divrei Sofrim, just parenthetically, because this is important to know as a general point, so Divrei Sofrim does not always mean Midrabbanim. And that's going to come up in Kinyan Kesef Kedushin in important ways, which we'll get back to. But in this context, it sounds like it does. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that essentially this is an Isser Drabbanim. So, question about that?
That's a little.
Little what? Sorry?
Unrelated.
Okay, so let's see if, just like the husband and wife are not yet fully related, so let's get them related first. So, the question is why should there be, why did Chazal make this Isser Drabbanim? What's the Isser Drabbanim about? If not Torah, it's Mutter. So why did Chazal make this Isser Drabbanim? So you have any theories? What if we Kedushin designates the wife? So what's the need to have an Isser Drabbanim at this point? You want to suggest anything? Happens to be Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. He has a tshuva, it's in Chelek Arachayim. So that seems unusual, because the laws of marital and non-marital relationships are in Ebenezer. So Arachayim is not really a place where this should come up. So what's it doing in Arachayim? So sometimes the tshuvas, like in Igros Moshe and elsewhere, could end up in random places, because somebody says, oh, Rav Moshe, tell me, can I do Borer on Shabbos? And why is there an Isser for Nerusa to Baal? So then he says, okay, considering your question about Shabbos, considering your other question, it ends up in Arachayim for that reason. But here, it's an Arachayim because of this. The whole thing is an Arachayim question. So what connection does this have to Arachayim? To, let's say, to be more specific, the whole thing is Yontif. Yeah?
Pesach?
Yeah, oh, very good.
Pesach,
the Chametz, or a little closer. On the right track. Not Chametz, but...
Matzah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. No. Excellent.
Yeah, so that you're not allowed to eat matzah erev Pesach, and then Pesach you're allowed to. Okay.
Exactly. Oh, so the Gemara has a line about that. The Gemara says that kol ochel matzah be'erev Pesach ki'ilu bol arusaso be'beischam. That eating matzah on erev Pesach when it's not yet the mitzvah is somehow comparable to a man who has relations with his Arusa while she's still in her father's household, before she has come to his household. So, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about matzah and erev Pesach. And in that tshuva, he tries to explain what the comparison is. So in order to understand the comparison, so you have to understand what the issue is of Arusa Beisava. So in that context, he talks about this. So, he offers two suggestions as to what it is. And one suggestion he has is that maybe it's a gezeira otu pnuyu. That maybe we're worried that since in the eyes of the public they're not really married yet until the chuppah has happened, until the nisum has happened. So if we say, well, as long as they do kedushin first, that's enough. So then people won't realize that that's so significant. And they'll allow it even before that. So therefore, maybe that's a reason to make an Isser Drabbanan even after Kedushin, before the Nisun. Then he goes on to say a little bit more. He says that the act of Bia, sometimes it's a mitzvah, and sometimes it's just a rishus, sometimes it's permitted. But you want to start the marriage off with a act of Bias mitzvah. You want the first Bia to be a Bias mitzvah. And in order for it to be a mitzvah, so what mitzvah is it? So one mitzvah, like we're discussing, is Purubu. But even without that, there is a mitzvah called Onam. Right? The husband has an obligation towards his wife. But that obligation is part and parcel of the whole full marital commitment of Nisuin. So he doesn't have an obligation of Onam until Nisuin is fully in place. So therefore, perhaps he thought the nature of the Gzeira is, the nature of the Din Rabbanan is, that Bia, over the course of a lifetime, so sometimes it'll be a mitzvah, sometimes it'll be a reshus, but the first time it should be an act of mitzvah. It should be something which is fully within the context of the husband's actual responsibility towards his wife. And then he goes on to say that that's perhaps also what we have when it comes to matzah, that matzah sometimes is a mitzvah and sometimes is a reshus. But in this context, you want your first matzah to be matzah mitzvah, and therefore to jump the gun and have it Erev Pesach, so that's going to undermine the mitzvah status, and that's what we're making this comparison. Yes, sir?
What was the first one?
What was the first suggestion? Said that otu pnuya, that we're worried that you may come to think that if it's mutter before nisuin, it's mutter before kedushin also. Especially if you imagine, I guess, the kedushin is if kedushin really separating it, right? So it's hard to imagine it's just so different from our experience. But so then you should have what could be a relatively brief act of kedushin, and the whole chuppah part is going to be much later. So maybe people don't really feel that their marital status has changed so much after a simple kedushin. And therefore, one might think that, okay, if at that point it should be mutter, so then maybe without that, it's also mutter. This is speculation. Maybe that's the idea. Rav Aaron Cutler, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, there's a paper that was published several years ago where they collected various kedushin of his that were printed in different places called Osef Kedushei Torah. And he explains there in a way which is really very consistent with what we've seen, that marriage essentially contains, as a mitzvah, contains a few components to it. One is that it designates the woman to this man as distinct from any other man. And it also brings the husband into a full picture of seriousness and commitment to her. So in that context, he says, this really addresses both parts of the equation. That as far as the Isser Kadesha for the Rambam, that there's an Isser Daraisa of Bia with somebody who you're not married to, so the fact that you have designated her to this man and not to anyone else in the world, perhaps that's enough to address the Isser Kadesha. So already, she's not somebody who could just be with anyone. So as far as the Isser Daraisa of Kadesha, maybe that's enough. So the idea that it shouldn't be an Isser Daraisa at that point, we can understand. But on the other hand, we also, especially within what we're saying, that the mitzvah of Kedushin is that you should only have a physical relationship within the context of a full commitment. So a public commitment and the whole seriousness approach. So it's the nisuin that really reflects that, right? The nisuin where there is the full set of mutual obligations. So we can understand why, at least on a level of the Rabbanan, we want all that to be in place before there is a physical relationship. So we can certainly understand why Chazal would not be too excited about there being a relationship like that when only kedushin has taken place. It's a good first step, but it's not only that we want, it's that we want this to be as complete as possible, a context of complete obligations toward each other, and therefore we can understand why essentially nisuin is necessary also, at least on a level midrabanan. And you know, we can talk about what exactly is represented by that and where exactly the scope lies, but that's essentially the points. I think with this, I think we've addressed most of the marmakomas that you've seen already. And some of you are have to see the extra of the Rashbaz and the Rans, where it, just to find that phrase, Isha Ibufo Kanuwa, emphasized, that was also something we wanted you to see, so I think by now you've seen that. The one thing we didn't really talk about that was on the marmakomas, but we'll have to talk about this next week, is what exactly happens during the Kinyan Kedushin. How exactly does the Kinyan Kedushin work? So one thing that you may have seen about that was the Ran and the Darim. The Ran talks about what exactly is the role of the Isha in the process. So we'll talk about that also in the context of the Gemara and Daf Beis and the Beis, where we'll get to the question of what kind of das is necessary for the man, what kind of das is necessary for the woman, why the Gemara discusses the question of Midaita, Shalom Midaita, so all of that, that's going to be a sugya coming up pretty soon. So just to quickly review what we spoke about today, so we talked about the Gemara in Beitza and the Gemara in Mordechai, how Rashi over there in both places seems to understand that any mitzvah that's being referred to is only that of Puruvu, but in any event, the Gemara talks about there being a mitzvah. It sounds like in Beitza, like there is a mitzvah involved in Kiddushin. Sounds like a Mod Katan is a mitzvah in the Suin, but not in Kiddushin. We mentioned the approach of Rambam and Rambam that Kiddushin is a mitzvah when it's followed up by Nisuin. And we talk about the whole spectrum, and raise the question of where exactly Birchas Eirusin fits in. Then we talked about the question of the Tosfos here, Tosfos Beis Mebeis, which draws a distinction between a Talis and an Isha as far as what kind of language you work, highlights the fact that they're not the same, highlights the fact that you can't use the same process for both. And we talked also about Tosfos and Beis Medal, if they raised the question of why the Mishnah uses the hay, what's the significance of hay. Tosfos says, Ha'isha Hamavoraris Bakra, the Nitziv says it's the hay referring to the mitzvah of Kedusha. And we thought also the idea that the hay is the woman who's designated. The whole point here is to give focus and attention to this woman specifically, and that's also what this hay is coming to represent. And we talked about the Rambam's history lesson, why does he have to talk about before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah, and we mentioned the promotion's point, that it's to highlight the commonality between the two, that it's still only about designation and not about Kenyan, and that the nature of marriage hasn't changed, it's just the Torah placed an extra obligation before that relationship starts. And we mentioned the Berchas Kohen's approach, that there's a focus on the mitzvah, and he compares that to the Rambam's similar statements in Hilchos Shita. And then we suggested also that it's understandable by itself that the Rambam is giving context, not maybe necessarily to show the commonality, but to show the contrast, that it's not enough that there should be a living together, but that there needs to be this formality beforehand. And then we got to the context of what exactly Eirusin means, Eirusin being the full household connection. We'll mention maybe next week a little more details about what in our practice nowadays actually constitutes Nisuin. And we'll talk about that, but conceptually Nisuin means that she's now a part of his household with all the ramifications. And until then, there is an Isubiyah, so the question is, first of all, is that Isubiyah Dereis or Drabanan? That seems to be a machlokus, right? It says Dereis, the Rambam probably understands it's Drabanan. And the question of why does Drabanan exist? We mentioned your motion is true about matzah, where he has two explanations. Either it's because we're afraid one might come to allow Biyah, or because we want that this first act of Biyah should be a Biyah's mitzvah, even if at other stages in life will be in Shuz. But we want there to be a mitzvah to start, and it's only a mitzvah when it's in the context of the full marital obligations. And you mentioned Rav Aaron Cutler's discussion in his sefer, where he says that on the one hand, the Isser Kadesha, the idea that the woman could just be with anyone, so that is addressed by Kedushin. So on a level of Torah, we can understand why even just Kedushin by itself can mitigate the Isser Kadesha. But still, on the level of the Rabbanan, we also understand, conversely, why Chazal would not want that there should be a physical relationship at that point, in line with the whole idea of Kedushin, that there should be formality before the marriage happens. So that formality also includes not just the declaration, but also the full bilateral package of marital obligations, and therefore it makes sense that the Nisuin should have to be there first for that to happen as well. All right, I wish you a wonderful first Wednesday of this month. And again, tomorrow, Parshas Re'eh.